Dearly beloved in Christ, this past couple weeks we have celebrated a handful of wonderful feast days, namely the Feast of the Circumcision, Feast of the Holy Name of Jesus, Feast of the Epiphany, and today we are celebrating the Feast of the Holy Family, as well as the first Sunday of the Epiphany, or the feast, first Sunday after Epiphany, which is commemorated in this Mass. On the Feast of the Epiphany, or the Feast of the Kings, we commemorated that heartwarming scene of the three Magi arriving at the humble abode of the King of Kings and offering him their gifts, which were full of meaning. And Verrocchio says in his meditation book that in all ages, the Church has celebrated this feast with extraordinary splendor to perpetuate the memory of a great and happy event, the manifestation of Jesus Christ to the Magi. The word epiphany means a manifestation or appearing. The historical details are given to us in the Gospel of the Mass of the Epiphany, and it begins with these words: "When Jesus, therefore, was born in Bethlehem of Judah in the days of King Herod, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to adore him.' The posterity of Adam had been chosen to form a people who, in the midst of idolatrous nations, preserved the faith and worshiped the true God, but a day was to come in which all the nations of the earth were to be called to the same faith and to form but one nation in Jesus Christ. The promise of this had been made to Abraham, and on this day it was fulfilled by the calling of the Magi, who represented all the idolatrous nations and consequently our own ancestors. The festival of the Epiphany should therefore bring vividly to our minds the gratitude we owe to God for the gift of faith, for the great blessing of being born in a land where that holy faith has been maintained, and perhaps of parents remarkable for their faith and piety. Faith worked great things in the Magi. It made them new men, spiritual men, saints, apostles, and martyrs. It was an ancient tradition to believe that they were baptized by the apostle St. Thomas, and that they became themselves apostles and martyrs of the faith. The Eastern and Western Church honors them as saints, and people go to visit the remarkable relics of their venerated heads, carefully preserved ever since the 12th century in the Cathedral of Cologne. Jesus has shed on us in like manner the bright light of faith. It may be said to have grown and strengthened with us. We have been brought up from early childhood in the knowledge of its glorious mysteries, in the practice of our holy obligations. So let us prove our gratitude to God by unswerving fidelity to this great grace, so that it may produce in us in abundance the fruits of sanctity. Let us give thanks to God for our faith, especially in these times of turmoil. And let us ask God to help us to love him more and more and to open up our hearts to his graces. Because the more we seek our own benefits and comforts here on earth, the more self-centered we become. And the more self-centered we become, the more we close God out of our lives and our hearts. It is the first step toward losing the faith. And it is a truly scary thing to think about. What would that path look like? How would we, little by little, close out God and his graces from our hearts and slowly turn to the world? We would become as one who has turned aside from the straight and the narrow path that leads to heaven, and we have gone on to the broad path, an acceptable path in the eyes of the world. The worst part of it is we would become blinded to our own depravity. We would become as vessels tossed about on the ocean of our passions, driven in whatever direction the world and the devil wished us to turn. And we wouldn't even be able to perceive our own wretchedness, although our conscience would whisper to us that we are the lost sheep or the prodigal children. So let us not only give thanks to God for having the true faith, but pray for an increase in this virtue, In fact, we ought to put special emphasis on the attaining of the three theological virtues of faith, hope, and charity. Just as the Magi had faith, they had faith in following the star, they had hope that they would find our Lord, and they were charitable in their act of offering the little king their gifts of gold, myrrh, and frankincense as their tokens of loyalty and friendship. As for the Feast of the Holy Family today, though, I would like to read to you the commentary that Abbot Geringer gives to us on the epistle for today. He says, "If we would attain to charity, that bond of perfection which unites all Christians together in the one great family of God, we must pay heed to those virtues which the epistle puts before us. We must be full of mercy, benignity, humility, modesty, and patience. We must bear with one another and forgive one another after the example of the incarnate Word. Then the peace of Christ will dwell not only in our hearts, but in those around us, and our homes will truly become like that of Nazareth, where Mary and Joseph were ever singing in grace to the Lord God." So the epistle tells us to be merciful, to be benign, humble, modest, and patient, bearing with one another and forgiving one another, and above all, to have charity, which is that bond of perfection. I think we can see how this epistle from St. Paul to the Colossians is so appropriate for the universal church. The virtues mentioned are something we all need, but especially as part of the mystical body of Christ as a family unit. We should have the willingness to help one another, to be there for each other, to sacrifice our personal time and preferences in order to assist one another. But these virtues are also very necessary on an individual level. The family life, of course, is a blessing. Living in a virtuous, God-fearing Catholic family is a very beautiful thing and a very great blessing for those children brought up in those families. They learn to be respectful, to be kind, humble, helpful, and joyful. They are taught to enjoy the innocent activities in life, and their joy resonates throughout the house. The love and joy within a virtuous and pious family is truly a beautiful thing. The family unit will have its crosses and trials along the way as well. And just as St. Paul entreats the Colossians to be merciful, humble, kind, modest, and patient, and charitable, and forgiving toward one another, so also is this instruction an important message to the family. If these virtues are impressed upon everyone, if they permeate the atmosphere of the house, then when those crosses and trials come, the family will stand together and help each other. They will earnestly pray for one another if anything should happen to the family members. The devil and the world, without doubt, are out to destroy the family unit. And imagine the family as a beautiful budding flower in a field. And the devil comes along, and he is jealous of that beautiful family springing up as a fragrant flower and bringing down God's blessings. And so he, together with the world, strive with all their power to crush that blossoming flower, to discredit the joys of family life, to divide the members of the family whose strength is in their unity. We can always tell how good and pleasing to God something is by seeing how hard the devil and the world try to destroy it. It seems that they have been at the family unit in countless ways and with absolute demonic energy and ingenuity. We see these effects coming from movies, from the upheld lifestyles of the world, from books, modern ideas of health, divorce, which has become an acceptable norm in modern society. And when these things don't work, they turn to scorn and ridicule. Then we look to the Holy Family, the family of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. Surely the ideal family that all other families should strive to imitate. We ought to ask the Holy Family to intercede for our own families, that they may be strengthened to resist the wiles of the devil and the allurements of the world. Certainly the world will accept you if you throw yourself into its embrace. but your morals will be stripped away until you no longer resemble that beautiful and God-fearing family that once graced this desolate world as a blossoming sweet flower. So let us strive to imitate the virtues of the Holy Family and pray to Jesus, Mary, and Joseph that we may become imitators of their lives and grow in wisdom and grace before God and men. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.